You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Just want to remind you, Black on Black Crime is when black people criticize, analyze, and overemphasize other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Again, welcome to the program. On this program, we have actor Morgan Freeman versus the movie 12 Years a Slave. We have high-end department store drama versus black customers, and we have a discussion, black women hair, again, black women hair in corporate America, your hair or your job. We have some stories that are in the news that are about a couple of black women in their hair, in their jobs. Now, last week's show, we did have a rebroadcast of the Russell Simmons, Don Lemon saga. You know, we just wanted to play that. If you have any questions or comments about that, you can always send them in to us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Also, if you have not joined our Facebook, yes, we do have a Facebook page. It's at Facebook, BOBC Show at Facebook. That's BOBC Show on Facebook. So go on there and like our page and join in with us on the program. Now, again, if you're new here, I just want to welcome you and say thank you to all of our listeners. We have some great numbers, so I just wanted to say that I appreciate having everyone tune in every week to check out the show and to see what's going on with Black on Black Crime. You know how we do. Just kind of have a point-counterpoint discussion about some things that are in the news or going on in the world. So, again, black on black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So, with that being said, you can join in. The chat room is now open. We're broadcasting live on Esprit Radio and on ACN. So, if you want to get in on either of those lines or jump in either chat room, that is fine, and we'll bring you in. But before we go to our topics for the day, we'd like to start off the show with some news. I don't want to call it entertainment news, but it's just some things going on in the world. So we'd like to update our listeners. This past week, music producer, I should say icon music producer, Quincy Jones is suing the estate of the late Michael Jackson, the world's greatest entertainer, for millions of dollars. Now, he said the singer's estate and Sony Music Entertainment improperly re-edited songs to deprive him of royalties and production fees. Now, Mr. Jones, Quincy, or Q is what they call him, said they also broke an agreement given him the rights to remix master recordings for albums, for those albums released after Jackson passed away in 2009. Now, he produced some of Michael Jackson's top music, from Off the Wall to Thriller to Bad, all of those things. But apparently, the new estate in trust that's holding Michael Jackson's money, who, again, Michael Jackson, according to Forbes, made the most money out of any singer dead or alive this year. They're not paying Quincy Jones, so now they're getting sued. Just wanted to share that story. Now, NBC has announced that it is rebooting Angela Lansbury's detective drama series, Murder, She Wrote, with Octavia Spencer. Now, in the original, Angela Lansbury starred as a mystery writer and amateur detective, Jessica Fletcher, and, you know, just went around solving crimes. Now, I never watched the show. It was very popular, and it's one of the longest-running syndicated shows as well, if you don't know. Bad news as far as NBC's track record is concerned. Ironside has been canceled last week, which stars Blair Underwood. I think after just probably two or three episodes, NBC got rid of one and bringing another one. I'm not saying they got rid of it. They just didn't have the ratings, so just wanted to share that. That would be NBC Ironside is gone. Now, a Maryland high school is fighting back against twerking by making students and their parents sign an agreement banning the suggestive dance at homecoming. Just wanted to put that out there because I think it's hilarious that somebody would ban a dance. So they're banning that particular dance in a Maryland high school. If we get some more information on that story, I will definitely let you know. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced its annual list of nominees. Half the field of 16 were first-time nominees, and it's the eighth nomination for Chic since 2003. If you have a vote, I'm not playing any Chic today, but you need to vote for Chic to get in there. It's about time they get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm sure a lot of people agree with me, but I just wanted to make sure I put that out there as well. If you watch VH1's Crazy, Sexy, Cool, the TLC story, which premiered the 21st, they had their highest rating for an original movie ever. That's the TLC story on VH1. So I wanted to make sure, I don't know why I wanted to make sure I said that, but just to say congratulations to T-Boz and Chili. I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in. We're also broadcasting on ACM, but you can dial in 909-265-9189 to join in on the program. On this program, again, Morgan Freeman versus 12 Years a Slave. That's the movie that just came out. So Morgan Freeman said that he will not watch the movie 12 Years a Slave. We're going to talk about that after our break. I think we should go into that one first. We have a discussion in the news. Some black women are being asked to choose between their hair and their job. We have a couple of stories of a couple of women, one in corporate, one works for a restaurant, and the management is asking them to change their hair. Of course, you know they're black, so I thought it'd be an interesting discussion. And we're talking about high-end department stores versus their black customers. If you don't know, Macy's, Barney's had some racial profiling issues that came up recently in the news. And people are taking stands one side and another, so I think we should probably talk about that as well. We have more entertainment news and information, so I just wanted to make sure I put those out there. We'll talk about that. We'll bring you back after a quick break. So just remember, chat room is now open. If you need to write us, you can write bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. to send us your comments. I am checking over there. I'll be in the chat room in a second, but just wanted to let you know. So you can join us. Call us, 909-265-9189. Oh, by the way, if you're on the line, hey, just hit 1. We'll see when to bring you in. Don't like to bring folks in before they're ready, so just let me know. Hey, Lavinia, who's out there? I know Kai's coming in, but we'll see how that goes. If she's a little busy. But we'll be back after this message.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Welcome to EspriNet News 90-Second News Break. The U.S. Army announced new restrictions on tattoos in an update to regulations on the appearance of soldiers. ink visible below the elbows or knees, as well as tattoos visible above the neck, will soon be forbidden. Soldiers will be responsible for covering the cost to remove any ink that violates the new band. The Affordable Health Care Act health coverage exchanges that open October 1st, their costs will depend on a person's age, family size, tobacco use, income, and geographic location. If you already have health coverage, it doesn't affect you. Air travel can soon be a much more technology-friendly place. A leaked report by the FAA suggests all devices connected to Wi-Fi can be used on most U.S. airlines. However, normal ground-based cellular connections, such as those used for calls and data, will remain restricted. Health Canada said their conservative government is launching a $1.3 billion free market in medical marijuana, eventually providing an expected 450,000 Canadians with quality weed. Private dwelling productions will be banned. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News on ACN.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189, on this program. Headlining, I guess we'd want to say that, is the Morgan Freeman, actor Morgan Freeman, versus the movie 12 Years a Slave. We also have a discussion about black women hair in corporate America and high-end department stores versus black consumers. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can join us. Join in 909-265-9189. And remember, just hit 1 if you're already on the line if you want to join in on a conversation. I'm going to start off with the Morgan Freeman story because we have a bunch of internet comments. And before you join in, maybe you might want to check out what others are saying about it now. Morgan Freeman, the 76-year-old actor, revealed his reluctance to view Steve McQueen's Oscar-worthy film, 12 Years a Slave. He said, "I saw a television movie that was made a few years ago about the same character, Solomon Northrup, but I don't particularly want to see it. Things are bad enough the way they are. I don't want to keep punching myself in the face with it." Now, 12 Years a Slave, if you don't know, is based on the actual life of Solomon Northrup, a free black man lured from New York to D.C., where he was sold into slavery and stayed in Louisiana for almost a decade. Here's some of the internet comments that we already have on that. One says, "I'll probably see it at some point, but this quote from Morgan Freeman sums up my feelings precisely." And I just wanted to make sure I said that. I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But the bigger picture for me is, if you need to see it, I'm sure they said it's on the level with Schindler's List and all of that, but it's just not for me. Now, another comment says, "I was ready to be disappointed at whatever bad thing he had to say about 12 Years a Slave because the film looks like it will be phenomenal, but I have to say that I understand. It's bad enough experiencing racism in your own personal life and watching / reading about it on the news to people who could have easily been you or a relative. They said sometimes watching a movie about it can be too much. I definitely seen movies that made me so angry that I didn't want to talk to white people for a little while. Anything that's based on the truth makes you that way." That was another internet comment. And again, I just want to say on that, I understand that. Now, another one says, "Gotta face the tragedy of our ancestors is in our DNA. They were amazing human beings. Our ancestors survived the unthinkable. I cherish their memory and honor them as victorious." Those were our internet comments. If you have any comments, just add them in the chat room or send it to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, if you don't know, Morgan Freeman has been in a lot of controversy as well. He's an award-winning actor, and he does jump into other areas, so we might as well bring this up. Recently, he criticized the Republicans for their tactics and beliefs. They have damaged their reputation. Morgan Freeman said, "The length that people go to show their prejudices is crazy," is pretty much, he said, that that's what happened to them. He said, "You see some of these signs that say take our country back." He said, "What the F is that?" I didn't know Morgan Freeman cussed like that, but he said, "What the F is that? Whose country are we talking about?" he asked. He said, "They are being pushed to the side, which is good for them to realize you don't have the power you think you have in this country." And he also said, "President Obama was legitimately elected president. If you don't like that, fine, either move out or make your point and get yourself elected." He said, "Don't tear the country apart." That was Morgan Freeman. Now, let's go to the phones and bring in Finesse. What's going on, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on, Asprey? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to comb through Morgan Freeman because I figured I can cut him up, so I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to tell the story first.
So you're talking about you didn't know Morgan Freeman can swear. That's easy reader. He can put some words together. Electric company.
Well, I know he knows some words. I just never seen him that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Of course, they can't do that on electric company. They can't put together and the rest of it and come up with the same.
You can't do all of that. Wait, I guess, yeah, okay, hey, we can't start that show today. You know, before we get started with you, I guess I should ask what's going on with you.
Well, I'm down here in Georgia with my boys, C. Biv,
Corral.
We're doing some ISO radio stuff. And since I can't be muted, yes, I did reach out to Kai so I could see Kai because I haven't seen Kai in a long time. So you and Lavinia don't try to mute me for wanting to see Kai. So try to catch up with some other people I haven't seen in a while. So we got some things going on planned, you know. Sort of vacation, but definitely some work.
When Kai comes in, we'll ask her about the weather. So
I don't feel it's really necessary for you to ask Kai anything. I just think you just want to ask Kai to see what I've been up to. Why don't you just ask me what I've been up to?
I didn't know you was funny. Don't get muted because don't make me. You know what? I'm going to do this anyway. Author, columnist Kai is on the line. What up, girl? You know he's going to show up.
How are you? Hey,
Kai.
How you doing?
I'm doing great now. Yeah, I just want to let you know, Kai, you know, I mentioned your name 2 weeks ago and I got muted. Awesome. For the whole show. So
really?
Now that I'm down here, they can't mute me.
He's always going to get muted and mentioning your name. I just wanted to say that wasn't nothing new.
I just came in on the part where you said, "Why you got to ask Kai? Why can't you ask me?" I just told you. Uh-oh, what happened?
Nobody was talking about you. That was just for this.
That's just what you're trying to see. Have I seen you or not? Instead of just asking you right out.
Please, I'm going to tell you this.
Or giving me warnings to stay away from Kai.
Oh, no, I don't have to do that. I can shut it down from a distance, but the problem is I have not talked to Kai. So, by the way, are you feeling better?
Well, I'm a little better. I watched the breast cancer walk this weekend, so, you know, I didn't need an inhaler, so I'm getting there. But this rainy weather is not helping my bones at all. Trying to get my fiancé back. It's taking a while.
I hear you. Kai, we were talking about Morgan Freeman versus 12 Years a Slave. Now, Morgan Freeman, the actor Morgan Freeman, said that he's reluctant to watch Steve McQueen's film 12 Years a Slave because he said he saw the movie a few years back and he doesn't particularly want to see it because he didn't want his anger exacerbated.
I think I understand where he's coming from. Especially,
yeah, he said he saw it before.
And he's from Mississippi, too. You know.
Oh, that's true. That.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I thought the same thing. I was thinking, nah, I better not go see this. That's why I could never watch Amistad and stuff like that. I thought, nah, I better not go see this. I'm good terms with my Caucasoid friends. I love them. I don't want to be angry.
Right.
And then, you know, so I totally understand. But then I heard just how good the movie is. So
Excellent.
You know, now. Yeah, so now I'm motivated. I have to go see it.
It's right up there for me with Malcolm X. Malcolm X was my favorite all-time movie.
Ooh,
and this
really?
Movie, 12 Years a Slave took that.
Wow, really? Okay, I definitely got to go see it then.
And I encourage everyone to go because it is a part of history. And I hate when when I hear, like, I'm hearing some black folks, well, I'm tired of slave movies. But that's part of our history. You don't hear any Jewish folks saying, well, I'm tired of Jewish movies.
I don't want to see another slave. Schindler's List.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I think you have to take it, you know, no one's saying that when another Boys in the Hood type movie come out, I'm tired of another Boys in the Hood movie.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we've had, I can say over the last couple of years, there's been some, you know, I like The Help. It was a part of history.
Right.
My aunt's film were maids and all the other things.
Right.
The Butler.
And it's like,
how
it's
great
like
was
my
the
mom
Butler
wrote
year.
That story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You had Foodable Station, which was another great movie this year.
Right.
And now you add this. It's some great, great, great movies by some great black directors and writers and actors and actresses.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I heard Espy say earlier, it is very graphic. It really is. And I can tell you,
mm-hmm.
be prepared. Do not eat afterwards. Eat before you go.
Oh, really?
And
is
be
it like,
prepared.
Like Passion of the Christ graphic? Like that kind of graphic?
Yeah. It ain't. Let me tell you. I'll put it like this. It's Roots to the 50th Power.
Oh, gosh. See, now I'm angry. Now I'm feeling like Morgan Freeman.
But you have to go see it because of the story and what this guy went through. And I didn't even know that they were taking free blacks, targeting free blacks, certain free blacks, and bringing them back into slavery. And the movie is everything. And here's the other thing, too, about the movie. I love the way the director, Stephen Queen, he lingers on scenes to make you think about things.
So this
really
Steve McQueen
awesome.
Person, is he is
not the
he
white Steve McQueen.
An American director?
He's from London. I believe he's from London. Yeah, he's from London.
Oh, okay. Huh, really? And his name is Steve McQueen.
Okay,
you know how history repeats itself. Remember The Color Purple never got nominated, which I wasn't really that big of a fan of Color Purple. It was okay, and I say that. And it didn't get nominated. This film better get nominated. That's how good it is.
Yeah. And I've been hearing some Oscar buzz already, which is making it even more intriguing. So I was like, you know what? I'll go. And, you know, from black, white, everybody's saying how great this movie is. So I'm going to check it out.
And I tell people, because I did some write-ups here and there, I tell people, because they did not want to release this film. This is the time of year when the white studios want to release their movies about white men in the ocean with boats and in space being stranded. Try to push those as Oscar worthy. And I keep telling people, if the movie is not in your town, and I know we got some Syracuse folks that's listening, folks, do not just sign the petition, because I know there's a petition going around. You need to go to the TV stations and you need to go to the newspapers. And I even put, contact Espy. He is your black media outlet. And make noise.
Well, I'm a media outlet as well.
Yeah,
this is a black media outlet. We are media.
Media. You are media, and you are the voice of no other black media outlet.
There are outlets, but we need to come out and tell the truth sometimes. And so I'm really careful about just saying, look, we only tell stories or give media from a certain perspective. I think black folks are universal. We have to tell a story about everything across the board. Don't worry about being labeled one way or another. Oh, and I want to say this to both of you, because I'm not sure if you know, but Kai and I actually know one of the descendants from Solomon Northrup. Do you know that, Kai?
Really? No. Who would that be?
I don't know if I should say their name on the radio. But anyway, there's
drop me a hint.
Well, Finesse may know Clayton Adams. Do you remember Clayton?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, C-Biv had this conversation the other day. Yeah, we had this conversation.
Yeah, they actually, his brother, I think he went to CBA, but he grew up around, you know, Kirk Park area. So we actually are pretty close to him. I can't remember their sister name. I think you know their sister, but I cannot remember her name. But, yeah, this family is the great-granddaughter of Solomon Northrup. Their great grandmother, so it's about four generations, four or five off.
Wow.
But yeah.
Now,
just found out
they seen
nobody in Georgia.
Wow. And did we call him Clay? Because I remember that, I think.
Well, he was the younger brother. It's interesting when you start talking stories like that and how they come out to be kind of close to you. When you find out a story is close to you, then it, you know, it takes on another level for your resolve. So Vanessa is saying, if they're not showing the movie in Syracuse, where would you not show it? That's where Solomon Northrup's family is.
Exactly.
And the film takes place, he lived in Saratoga. So how is it not playing in and around upstate New York?
Right. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
And he was also he was also instrumental in the Underground Railroad, and which runs through Syracuse, which they have that big statue, I believe was there when I left, of Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. Hence why in the town that has a statue of an Underground Railroad won't show the movie. It's a whole funny another story about racism.
Because
you can't be scared of racism. And we're talking about this, saying that, hey, people are tired of slavery movies and all of this, and now we have people painting themselves still in blackface for Halloween.
You know what? It just made me think, Rome, when you said that Reverend Sharpton was in town this weekend and he came to our church. He told a story about having a conversation with a rap artist and why they should have used the word the N-word. And the rap artist was like, it's a freedom of speech, it's my First Amendment right, so forth. That same rap artist got into a bunch of trouble in the police. First person he called is Reverend Sharpton. And he said, you know, I need your help, this and that, and so on. So he said, why? He said, because he got arrested, got in some kind of altercation. And Reverend Sharpton said, but don't you know the N-words don't have no rights? So he was so busy protesting, it's that very same word that got him in trouble, and now he's asking for help after arguing with someone who was against using the word. But, and you know, he put it...
Was it Chris Brown,
out.
Was it?
No. I think it was
don't make
New
me
York
throw a flag on that.
He was in a forum, and he put it, you know, he put it in a much better perspective than I put it, but it really made you think, wow, in 2012, 2013, we are still facing this same kind of ignorance, these slavery, I mean, come on. I see what's
slavery oppression.
Martin, this oppressive behavior and this mentality that, you know, the girl on Facebook who came dressed with a noose around her neck, really? And it's two white people holding a noose. How ignorant and sad are you, you know?
Right.
I'm like, this is unbelievable. And where is her self-esteem, you know? This is really sad.
And this is why I think a lot of folks need to go and they need to take their, I can't say bring their kids, because their kids got to be of some mentality, because it's really not.
Right.
It's really,
right.
really graphic. Your kid has to be where you've talked to your kid about past slavery and to bring them to that movie. You got to be really careful who.
Yeah,
what
it's very graphic.
What could you bring to see that? It's very graphic.
Yeah.
But people need to see this film. It will alter your thinking about a lot of different things. And there's a lot of things in there that still resembles what we go through and what we still see today.
Well, I don't want to talk about it on the surface. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it on a surface like that. I just want to say this. It makes slavery really real to you. They're not talking about it, and this is probably why a lot of theaters don't want to show it, because even in places who consider themselves to be liberal are scared that people are going to realize what slavery was. Like, they somehow kind of whitewash it a little bit to say, yeah, people were enslaved, and that was how that time was. No, they beat a couple layers of skin off folks in this movie. And so
not a couple of layers.
During the Toronto Film Fest, when the media was viewing it, they said the media people were walking out in the hallways. Like, they were just, like, people were walking out of theaters and then went back in and still with their mouths open. So they don't sugarcoat the brutality of slavery and the white female's participation in that. Like, the white female was smiling that the woman was getting beat because she didn't want her husband looking at her because he liked her.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So all of those dynamics playing, people don't like to make, you know, white women feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but
they don't
want to
see.
They had a big
they don't
want to
see what the part of history is. Yeah, they don't want to see what part of history is. And it's so real. It's not even funny. And
it saddens me to hear people say, you know, not another slavery movie or not another black movie. If it's that inconvenient for you to watch it, just think of the people who experienced it. And, you know, I read stories where they, you know, mutilated people and mutilated their genitalia and burned them alive. And, you know, just
eating parts of the body, yeah.
How can you do that?
And it goes back to what I was saying before. Goes back to what I was saying before. You don't see any other culture sugarcoating their movies, and they make them.
No.
Jewish people are always talking about, remember the Holocaust, remember this and that. And this is our history. If we're not teaching it in school, you got to show it somewhere. And when we went to the screening, there were so many white folks that walked out. After 5 minutes, they were walking out. It's like, you know,
it's amazing.
The scene where there was a scene without giving it away, when one of the white masters got beat down, white people got up and left.
The black people getting beat down, but the white people getting beat down, that was a problem.
That was the
and
problem.
How are they gonna
react?
Right. And even
afterwards.
With some of them, just the severity of, maybe I don't think they really understand just how serious and graphic and nasty this was. I don't think everybody gets it.
No,
you know?
I don't think they want you to know how nasty and graphic they were. See, it's not an issue of it being a movie. This is not a made-up account of – this is someone's firsthand account of what happened. And so a part of Steve McQueen being a British director, they're saying maybe you didn't feel – to hold that stuff back like we would as Americans and as black folks that were like, no, he shouldn't be that graphic.
Right.
It may have been better that that black man actually did the directing because he didn't hold back on it.
He didn't hold back.
No, he didn't. And you see any of his movies, they're all like that. He doesn't hold anything back.
Yep.
Well, and it's interesting because I was in a conversation where the guy wasn't talking directly to me, but I was listening. And he said, well, white guy, you know, and I love these kind of conversations. He said, why is your generation mad at my generation for what my ancestors did to yours? We didn't do it. We weren't there. Why are we being punished for what they did? You know, and he was serious. And he said, I'm not a racist. He said, some of my best friends are black. But he said he grew up with a black guy. His best friend really was black. And he said, I call him my brother, but you look at me and you just assume that because my skin is white that I'm responsible for what my ancestors did. I don't even know them. And I was like, wow, that's pretty deep. And I
no,
said
that's
to
not
him
deep.
As I was
that's
ear
dumb.
Hustling,
that's
I,
dumb.
I said to him as I was ear hustling, I said, you know what, it's not that it's your fault what your ancestors did. I said, but it would be so much easier. We could have a conversation if you all would just recognize and acknowledge what your ancestors did to us. I don't expect you to take the blame for what they did, but acknowledge the fact that it happened, you know?
Okay, let me say this.
He looked like he was on the verge of tears. Like,
well, next time somebody does that to you, you make sure you call me in on that conversation. Because technically, here's the thing. You may not have done it, but you are damn sure benefiting from it. And all of your attitudes that oppress everybody else has nothing to do with you being liberal or conservative or whatever. You're benefiting off the backs of somebody else, so you cannot start off the game at the five-yard line and say, well, we didn't do any of that foul stuff that got us to the five, so can't we continue the game from right here?
And in all fairness, this was a young man. So this was a teaching moment for him, and because I knew his character, he was young, 19 years old, and he did it. His good friend was black. He was once in our program. But I looked at it as I actually liked the fact that he at least was bold enough to ask the question in a group of black people, you know. And I was like, you know, I appreciate you asking the question. And once we explained and talked to him, he was cool. He understood it a little more.
I want to say this. We know a lot of people who were white around the age of 19 who was cool people who are racist and crazy right now. As you go, you get indoctrinated into how the older folks are thinking. So when you're young, you're like, why? It has nothing to do with us. And then you are getting bombarded with oppression and racist images, and you become just as much the problem
right.
as everybody else who's been there. Tell them why 12 years a slave and then ask the question again.
Oh, God.
All right, sorry
but, you
for
know,
that.
In the context of that conversation, I was at least glad he asked. You know.
That's you being nice. Vanessa's laughing because he thinks that's a little harsh, but forget being harsh. We are running this.
No, I just heard what you
said. I'm from the teaching perspective. So
I know you
whenever
are.
There's an experience to teach, you know.
Mm-hmm. I agree that, you know, there's only certain people you can ask the question, but I was just laughing at what Ron said. Ron said, go watch 12 Years a Slave, then ask that question.
Right. Right.
That
because he does not
respond.
He does not have enough he doesn't have enough information to rake it over the coals like it's a 10-minute conversation. So when he can see how his ancestors contributed to oppression as it lives today, then he'll see why he's a part of a system. It's a structure issue. It's not him as an individual.
Right.
Like, I'm not a slave as an individual, but we still get beat down like slaves. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. And one of our topics, the next topic that we're going to talk about, is we have two stories where corporate America is asking a black woman to cut her hair. So we're going to talk about that and then tell your 19-year-old to think about that part.
Hey, before you go, I do want to say this. It is good that we have these type of – we've come far enough where we – Yeah, I like the dialogue we're seeing. My sister has just started a book club where we're going to read the book 12 Years a Slave and get together and discuss it. So I like what I'm seeing from that. So, I mean, it's a great movie. It has opened up dialogue, and we just need more of it. I'm not saying that we can't have movies like Don't Be a Menace While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
Okay, now you're about to commit to crime.
No. I just said balance it out.
We just can't have frivolous movies. We need to kind of learn some history since you're not getting it in school anyway. We might as well kind of tell you something.
Oh, how can I forget? Don't forget 42. That came out this year.
Right.
Jackie Robinson.
Right, no doubt.
Yeah, so we've had some great movies the last 2 years.
Right, yeah, we got to keep making them.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring in host of Late Night Talk with Nerdy Black Girls, bring in Lavinia. How you doing, Lavinia?
Well, hello. Good evening, everyone. How are you doing?
Hi, Lavinia. How are you?
I mismuted.
Not yet. I haven't just said anything yet. I'm trying to stay on the even keel. The social media's got me worked up, so, yeah, I'm trying to keep it mellow this evening. Last night was a bad night socially for me.
It wasn't about the 12 Years a Slave thing, was it?
No, it wasn't that. What you brought up briefly earlier about the blackface, and then there was a Twitter trend called, I think it was called Stop Black Girls 2013, and folks was just brutal on there, and I was just hot and heated, and I said, you know, Twitter is hell. It is an evil place.
I don't understand the big deal about blackface. I'm always in blackface.
Okay.
Muted.
See, he wants to get muted, doesn't he? This is okay, Kai. Since you weren't here, we had to mute Finesse quite a few times, so he always works up. He always works up his muted. We try not to do that as much as possible. But, all right.
Gotta have a sense of humor.
I guess. Let's see if we have a sense of humor on this one before, because we have. Our high-end department stores versus their black customers coming up later, so we're going to cuss out on that one. But let's try our discussion. Well, you listen to Black on Black Crime. If you want to join in on a conversation, hit us up in the chat room if you like. But our new discussion will be black women hair in corporate America. Now, we have in the news some black women being asked to choose between your hair and your job. So a company policy requires this Missouri woman to cut her dreadlocks to keep her job. Ashley Davis, 24, from St. Peter's, Missouri, said a change in her company policies now require her to cut off her dreadlocks. She said, I've only been here 2 months, and they came up with a policy, and I feel degraded. Now, the policy states dreadlocks, braids, mohawks, mullets, and other hairstyles are against the company guidelines. She had the dreadlocks when she was hired, and she's been growing them for about 10 years. To her, they're a part of her culture, and everyone and her family wears them. But she's the only one in her office that wears the hairstyle. So Davis's employer, where she works as a secretary, responded with the following statement. Tower Lone does not comment on individual personal matters. However, Tower has an appearance policy that is clearly defined in its training manual. Tower believes a professional appearance is necessary for the company's success. Now, again, they hired her with dreads. She worked there 2 months, and then they changed the policy. I don't know who wants this one first, but I'm going to go with Finesse because I know the ladies are going to have a different take on this. But, Finesse, what do you think about this company changing their policy?
Well, I think it was deliberate, number one. Number two, I'd have said to her, like I read someplace else, you don't tell Jewish people about their natural curly hair that they wear on the side of their head, or the yarmulkes or whatever they wear on top of their heads. How are you going to tell somebody that you hired who had dreads that they all of a sudden got to cut their dreads? I wouldn't cut them, and I would sue the daylights out of them. She's got a case, and there's been a couple of lawyers that have said that. So I would come in there, and I would come in there with my dreads and just continue to do my work. I wouldn't be late. I wouldn't give them any other cause reason because they're going to look for a reason because they're not going to win that one.
We do have some internet comments, and one of them did say, this is unconstitutional, plain and simple, don't cut your dreads. Kai, what do you think about this story in corporate of wanting the employee to cut her hair? Oh, by the way, they gave her till Friday. They gave her till Friday, too. They changed the policy, made sure she saw it, and gave her a week to cut her hair.
Okay, see, that's a problem. Funny you should ask me this question.
They didn't ask you.
I'm probably going to get muted.
You're not getting muted. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You ain't going to get muted, but I'll get muted. And I got a mute coming,
sorry.
Too.
In this case, and see, this is where it goes back to. If before she started, she knew what the dress code was. Even if she interviewed, you know, they interview you to entertain you sometimes. That's just a part of, you know, so you can't say we didn't interview a certain amount of Latinos or blacks or so forth. Now, if she knew the policy before she started the job, then you can't argue the policy. But if they're changing on their end and giving her till Friday, because, you know, people fear what they don't understand, I think I agree with Finesse. I will come in, do my job, wait for them to fire me, and get the best lawyer in town. On the other
she's going to sue
that, Oh, yeah. And she should. But on the other side
I would sue him and then keep my dreads and she won't have to work for the rest of her life.
Oh, she can't cut to her dreads.
But, you know,
I wouldn't
on the other side of that, having worked from a background of executives and CEOs, and there's a certain image, whether people want to admit it or not, when you're trying to land a client, there's a certain image in the professional world that you have to maintain. And when you, especially here in Atlanta, Finesse, I'm sure you've seen it where you're staying, when you relax the dress code a little, you get people with purple hair and 4-inch nails, and I'm all about expressing yourself.
You're about to get muted. I just realized you're about to go off the rails, aren't you, Kai?
I'm sorry. I live in an area where why is your hair purple and red and blue and you working in an environment that you know that that's not acceptable? And then you
okay,
get mad
but,
when the clients come in and, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
So
you guys are not talking about the lady who got fired for cutting her hair. You're talking about the people who are coloring their hair crazy colors.
I'm talking about when you relax the dress code. In her situation, I think she has every reason to get an attorney, and I agree with Finesse. She should come in, do her job every day, and in the meantime, talk to her attorney every single day because it seems like they're going back on their word. And they're giving her
right.
Don't
get caught on Twitter. She don't need to get caught on Twitter, Facebook, email.
Yeah.
She don't need to be doing none of that.
Thing.
She need to think about a book.
Right, and we know that that's a cultural thing. And, again, this is the opportunity to explain to the people who fear what they don't understand. This is a cultural thing. This isn't just me trying to express myself. So I totally agree with Finesse. God bless Johnny Cochran, but get the next best thing, you know.
Right. Here's another internet comment said that I bet if she cut her hair, the company would come up with another reason to fire her anyway. And I guarantee that that
will.
Is a good statement. Lavinia, you're up. What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously this was put in place, you know, in order to phase her out. I mean, they know that she's not going to cut her hair.
Right.
But they knew that, first of all. You don't go through the problems of getting your hair dreadlocks. But I see pictures of her. Her hair is a beautiful length. Her hair looks very nice. It's not like she just started it and she just had little teeny twists all over her head. She's got a beautiful head full of locks that they know she's not going to cut off. So that's the first thing. Second thing is they also included braids. Now, obviously, this is a way in order to set apart African-American women because African-American women are going to be the ones that are rocking these hairstyles.
Right.
If the braid, there's nothing about braids and dreadlocks that are a problem. If you want to say, hey, you want to have your braids, you want to have your dreadlocks, make sure they're pulled back in a bun.
Right.
I have no problem with this saying, pull your hair back so it's not all over the place. That's fine.
Right.
But once they start attacking the actual texture of hair, that's when you're getting into racial and cultural discrimination, and that's why she has an absolute case. She can say that they are setting me apart, this is affecting me, as opposed to everybody else in the office. I'm the only one who's having this issue, so obviously this is discrimination. So this is they're just crazy for even doing this, and I would like to know the chain of events that led to them suddenly changing their policy. Because it's not like this company started 5 months ago, and then she started working 4 months ago, and then they changed up the plan.
Well, it sounds
so this isn't new.
Yeah, somebody
It sounds like she's an excellent worker, and they were just looking for something to get rid of her.
They wanted
they
to
had
move
nothing
her.
Else.
Yeah. Right. And that's the big thing.
I don't understand how that could be the case. I don't think it's just something to get rid of her. I think it's something
think
to make sure that nobody comes in here with looking ethnic, and that's the word. I'm just going to use that in quotes. They want to make sure that, okay, going forward, nobody comes up in here with their
nappy
hair.
No one else comes. It
has nothing to do with her as far as her, because, you know, you got employment at will. They can get rid of you because they say, okay, we just don't need your job anymore. We don't have the budget to keep you anymore. That would be the reason to get rid of her.
Right. Well, that depends. Because if that's not a state, that's a right-to-work state. Like Maryland, Florida, Georgia, they can't. They have to have a reason for letting you go. Because they could have let her go without
not
even giving
Georgia.
Her a reason, without coming to that. Huh?
Georgia
is not right.
Georgia is a fire at will state. They don't.
So they're not. So they're a right to work state as well.
Yeah, Georgia is a right to work state.
Did this take place in Georgia? I thought this happened somewhere else.
This happened in Missouri.
Okay.
So
I don't think they're not a right to work state.
It would be easier to get rid of her if she showed up 15 minutes late 2 days in the last 4 months, as opposed to making a change in their actual policy. And that's why I said this has something to do with making sure nobody comes up in there with nappy hair. Because it's not
going forward.
Yeah. See, they said this policy for y'all black women for later on.
Probably one people complaining and took it to the boss, and this is how they followed up.
You know what? You know, that made me think that is usually how it works, right? So you have a minority employee in there. They did something a little bit different. And everybody says, well, I don't really like that. So it's almost like management said, let's change the policy because we don't really like her hair. Now, and that leads me to the news story, and I know this is going to seem frivolous. Hooters, they're accused of racial discrimination by a former employee who said that she was fired because she put blonde streaks in her hair. The manager said, black women don't have blonde hair. So the 25-year-old worked in Baltimore's Harbor Place Hooters, was fired in August after she was told by her managers that her hair color violated employee image standards. Now, according to the complaint, she was specifically told that white waitresses are allowed to have highlights in their hair, but black waitresses are not. So hair highlights are... Yes.
That's the thing that happened here in Baltimore, correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
there's more to the story to that I know of. And this goes back to what Kai was saying earlier. And he and it may be wrong, but I understood what Kyle was saying. I knew you wanted to get up to that, so I waited. She had been warned because she was putting red and green stuff in her hair, and so that's what that stems from. Even though she put the blonde, I'm just clarifying the story.
Okay.
So she had already been warned about putting red and green and all these other colors in her hair, and they were saying the policy is you can't have all this different stuff in your hair. She's right about the blonde streaks. People with blonde hair, they do it, I understand. But she was previously warned, and I guess they got fed up with it. So she put blonde streaks. She said, well, I'm going to put blonde streaks, basically. So that's what I'm hearing from the story. I'm just clarifying the more of that story. There was more to it than what was reported.
There was also a slight investigation on it, according to the media source that I have the story from. They said they actually started noticing that there was an issue with other African-American employees when they wore their hair curly, and they got in trouble by management. And the management told them, you can't come back to work unless you straighten out your hair.
Now I'm going to add something to this, because the same Hooters in Bolt at the Harbor, we ended up filing a complaint, me and my boys. We went there for a meeting, and we were coming into the Hooters, and it was in the daytime, like 12 o'clock. And they stopped us at the door. They weren't stopping anybody else. And they said, we need to see your ID. We was like, you need to see your ID for what? Because you can't come in here if you're not 21. I was like, during the daytime? I said, that's only at night. So they saw our ID. We gave them the ID. We said, okay. We sat at a table for probably 45 minutes before we got any service. When they came to the table, the chick said to us, we need to see your IDs again. We need to verify your ID and that you're of age. And we complained to the Hooters.
They serve other food.
Oh, yeah.
You can bring children in Hooters.
Exactly. So, me, of course, I was like, well, are you doing this? Because I know you have to be a certain age to come in here as a high school kid. We're not high school kids. Why are you asking us for our ID twice? So then what really ticked us off when we ended up leaving was, one of the guys I was with in the meeting, he ordered a drink. And they told him they had to see his ID. And he was like, yo, F that. Y'all saw us three times. Y'all checked us when we came in like we in a club. We didn't see all these other people come in that you never even checked that came in here. So that Hooters, and I will say this because I have the email still when I wrote them, and when I told them that I worked for the Baltimore Times and we was going to do an investigation, they sent us all these free coupons.
Oh, yeah. That's how they do it.
They better give me some free food. I don't want no coupon.
Yeah.
You can't really.
So it was free coupons for free food, and that is, so I believe everything that's in that store. I just wanted to clarify one about the girl because she had the red and green. But that Hooters, and I will go online and I will say this, that Hooters has had problems. They won't even hire Morgan State girls. There's Townsend girls from Towson, all the other colleges that work there. But if you go to Compton and you put that in your application, or Towson, any black school, they won't hire you.
Now, in the story, it said that there's an Asian employee there who has red streaks in her hair, and a white employee that has, she's a blonde, and she has black streaks in her hair, and they don't get any complaints. But she specifically was told what she can and can't do to her hair. So if only the black people are being regulated, that's a problem. So the Maryland Commission...
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, the complaint was filed with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. And so, they just were saying the Asian girl had red streaks in her hair and nobody said anything to her. So I think she is going to probably have a case on this.
She'll end up, she'll end up winning, and that place has been a problem. It has been a problem since they've been here, since long as I've been here in Baltimore. There's always been complaints about that.
I have an internet comment that says, what guy goes to Hooters and looks at a waitress hair color? That can't be hurting their business. All right, go ahead, Guy.
Well, I asked way too many questions, but I really want to know the answer. So my experience here was I went to a restaurant, a very popular restaurant, both domestic and international. I drove up through the window, and I kid you not, there was a girl there who had, which is probably why I'm not as flexible with this whole conversation as I probably could be. She had a huge, and I'm not kidding, at least inch and a half tattoo on her neck. She had very long fingernails, and I'm not making this up. She had red, blue, and blonde hair. I say that to say, now this is a restaurant. It just made me think. First of all, my first thought was, she looks like a clown. And then I thought, who's going to want to buy food from her? And then I thought, she would be the person that sued the restaurant. And she broke all of the dress code violations.
No.
That's why I don't eat. That's why I don't eat chicken, and that's why I don't eat at Bojangles.
What
you know what? There's a
young
bunch of flags on this. Everybody is in the black on black crime sometimes.
As a young white man, female manager, what do you do with this person who has violated every dress code and looks like she will bite your head off if you say something to her? It was stunning to me. I was like, this girl is working with people's food. Really? And that's what people see as people form opinions of us based on something like that.
Hey, you know, it happens. It happens. I guess we'll let Kai vent on that one. We're going to come back after we take this break. You listen to the black.
I'm glad you let me get
crime.
It out.
Hey, get
Bojangles,
it out, Kai. Get it
folks.
Out.
Bojangles.
We'll be back after this. We'll be back after this message.
You wake up in your luxury bed and slide out of your luxury sheets. You get into your luxury shower and dry off with your luxury towel. You put on your luxury suit and your luxury watch. You grab your luxury coffee from your luxury coffee maker and add some luxury sugar. You step out of your luxury house and step into your luxury car, which makes everything else seem ordinary. Introducing the Acura RLX with dual-eye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steering. It's luxury taken to a whole new level.
You know, there are a lot of choices out there for late-night talk shows, but here's the reason you're going to watch mine.
It is off the chain.
And that's a guy dressed as a scientist. You can go now. I got this.
The Arsenio Hall Show.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 888-927-2498. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 888-927-2498. That's 888-927-2498.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step 1. Gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Step 2. Keep those legs strong. And Step 3. Don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. On today's show, we talked about Morgan Freeman versus 12 Years a Slave. You know, I didn't ask everybody what they thought about that, but I guess I'll get to it. And we had a discussion about black women's hair in corporate America. All right, that was a little interesting. All right, we're on with Finesse. And what's up, Finesse?
Hey.
All right.
How you doing?
And we... Good, good. And we have my girl Kai on. What's up, Kai?
Hello.
And Lavinia. How are you doing, Lavinia?
Hey,
have to do a quick roll call. All right. So,
Bojangles.
That's the song.
It was Bojangles.
All right. Okay. Now, we have on this part, high-end department stores versus black customers. I know you guys probably all heard the story about Macy's and Barney's and the NYPD racially profiling folks after they purchased expensive items. Have you guys all – are you all familiar with that?
Yeah.
Kai, you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, a petition has surfaced online. Okay, well, let's go into what happened, I guess. We can start that. Actor Robert Brown of Brooklyn, he was in the HBO movie Tremaine, that HBO show. He's the third person this week to take legal action complaining that racially profiling by a high-end Manhattan store. This time it was Macy's, after he was paraded through the store in handcuffs after an employee accused him of making a fraudulent purchase. Now, Brown claims that he was unlawfully stopped and held by police who told him that his ID was false and that he couldn't afford to make the expensive purchase. Now, Macy's came out with a statement saying, "We're investigating the alleged claims. We are just made aware of the lawsuit." And then Macy's came out with another statement saying, "There was no record of any employee contacting authorities about Mr. Brown's purchase, so the store said police officers requested to use their room in their building, and that request was granted." That is Macy's trying to get up out of that. Yeah, they were just asking to use a room, so Macy's like, "Cool, just use that one," after he purchased something at Macy's. All right, so we can go in on this one, or should I do the Barney's one as well?
You might as well include it all in there.
At Barney's, which is another high-end department store in New York, Trayon Christen, 19, filed a lawsuit on Tuesday against Barney's because he bought a $350 belt, which he, he paid for it, used his debit card to buy the belt. Barney's cashier called the police claiming the purchase was a fraud, so he showed the police his ID, his debit card, and a receipt for the belt, but they still held him until Chase Bank verified that the debit card belonged to him, and then he was allowed to go home. Then Kaylee Phillips, 21, she was 7 months pregnant. She bought a $2,500 designer bag in February from Barney's, and she is now suing because she was held because she used a temporary debit card, which was hers. Barney's called the police, said it was fraudulent. They held her until they called her mother, who brought down the regular card that she got back. She had a temporary, but she had a new one, brought that down and found out that it was also her card as well. But the police said to her, "Where'd you get the money to buy this expensive bag?" And the police called Barney's about the transaction, and then after she showed them ID and her new card, which arrived in the morning, they released her. So just because they were spending that kind of money, Barney's called the police twice. I'm sure it's more than twice, but those are the two lawsuits that are going, and Macy's did the same thing. So let's go into it. What do you guys think? Lavinia, you can go first on this one.
I was listening to the story, and I just find it amusing that they had no problem running the card and making sure they got that money, and then
they got the money first.
Away. Yeah, then they want to walk away and say, "Oh no, that had to have been fraudulent." Like, seriously, if you thought that something was shady, you shouldn't have done the deal in the first place. So that already tells me that you're doing something that just ain't right. You don't do that. Like, go ahead, take their money, run it, and then after they walk out the door and everything's fine, you still don't believe that they did it. Second of all, who cares where they got the money from? You're not running a sting operation where you've got to check everybody that's coming in there to find out how. Are you asking everybody how they're able to afford your store? Because if that's the case, stop selling that stuff and start getting discount crap, and you don't have to worry about who's doing what to get their money. Sell some mittens for 25 cents, and you don't have to worry about where they got the quarter from.
It's not like they threw cash on the table either. You would think of fraud of having a lot of cash and then they're saying, "Hey, we need to see where you got the money from." They are actually using a credit card, which means the credit card should have rang up if it was stolen or there was fraud on it. So technically, if you showed ID, used your credit card, they shouldn't have said jack to you.
They shouldn't have said anything. And even if, wait a second, but even if they did drop money on the table, as long as that little gold marker works and the little gold streak
exactly,
shows
money's
up,
good.
It don't matter.
Right.
As long as they didn't mint that money, it don't matter where they got it from. If you're in the business of selling stuff, now if you're in the business of doing police investigative work, then might as well go ahead and say that's what you do.
My first question is, what did I do wrong in college, and where are they getting this money from? Who's going to buy a $400 bill? Jeez, apparently I made some bad choices.
You're wrong for that.
It sounds like there was some cashiers that was drinking a whole lot of Haterade, because why are they so concerned with where they got the money from? And, you know, God forbid young people of color come into a store and actually have some money and purchase something. It's like within, it's like you said, as long as it ran through and they had the proper identification, who made you buy any fights? You got to go further and decide whether it's fraudulent or not. The same lady with the dreads who getting the attorney, they need to get the same attorney. I mean, and, you know, again.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like class action suit.
Yeah, it's got to be. And, you know, you stop supporting their store. How much was that bag? $2,500?
Yeah, $2,500.
That's a big bit to a department store like that. You get enough people who make the same decision to stop spending that kind of money in that store. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, they went, the story I read where the police frisked the guy and was like, where are you getting this money from? And, you know, none of your business. Why is that your concern if the purchase went through, you know? And I love the way he handled it. I thought it was very mature the way he handled it. He didn't get loud. He didn't get right. Contacting an attorney. That's how you do it.
Right.
You know,
that's what they all should do is just flat out contact an attorney for this. But it's a part of the tiring practice of, again, we talked about this when people kept saying stop and frisk. Well, if they weren't doing anything, people wouldn't have to search them. And I'm telling you, that's across the board. When you start looking at black folks, you don't discriminate which black folks you are going to shake down. They all started getting shook down.
I mean,
yeah.
I think it was the cashier. The cashier is mad that they were spending more money than they were making. And, you know.
Well, that's usually the case. That's why police officers do that when they pull you over. They're like, how can you afford this nice car? It's like at work.
Exactly.
All right, finesse.
Well, I think Levine said it all. I think Kai said it all, but I'm going to add this. And this is personal for me because I just don't understand. Why do we continue to spend, and I know it's their money, and I know I'm probably going to get a flag, but why should we continue to support these businesses that don't, that are profiling you and don't care about you?
Right.
And then my other thing, and this has nothing to do with it, but just a side thing. We need to teach our people about, I know Rome don't like when people say that, but money management and spending stuff that makes sense. $325 for a belt just because you saw Jewel Santana in the video wear it?
I was going to say that. I thought I was going to get a flag.
You probably would have, but because that's beyond the point of, that's relative to how much money you have and how much you spent. So you can't.
And that's why I changed it.
Right.
You shouldn't be discriminated against
because
you're black and you have money.
Saying, I'm looking at it from an investment point. That was a bad investment, that $2,300 bag. The belt is fine. You spend that much on a bag, that's like buying a car and driving it off the lot.
Remember,
it would be a pretty
good
investment if they won a lawsuit.
That was a good investment.
Get that bag and then some.
That's true. I'm about to buy me a $200 pin up in Barney's, so y'all going to catch me tomorrow.
I know, I'm trying to get the check down. $200
fit is going to roll over. Yeah. I know. Now, Barney's did issue an apology and stated that they're employing a civil rights expert to look at how they treat customers at their store. Barney's New York believed that no customer should have an unacceptable experience described in recent media reports. And we offer our sincere regret and deepest apologies.
Oh, so that's so that's what Cornel West and Tavis Smiley going to do now that their show got canceled. They're going to work for
Barney. Hey, I was going to say, this is perfect for them. This is right up their alley.
Wow. And you know what? That might
There'll
sound
be no flags.
More convincing. That
no
sounds
flags
more convincing when they fire that employee.
Oh, right. Regardless of what anyone says, whether it's Macy's or Barney's or anybody, if your employees, I don't care if it's a corporate policy or not, if your employees are practicing that, those are the people who are affecting customers. Don't come on releasing statements saying that that's not our store policy. We don't care what your store policy is if you're discriminating against people because your employees are, you know, that's what Macy said, right? There was no record of our employees contacting authorities. Just because you don't have a record just meant that you didn't write it down. That's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
So Tyson Bedford, the fashion megastar Tyson, okay, I wasn't expecting that.
He's still
said
relevant.
That he said that he frequently gets judged by the color of his skin in Barney's and other places. Now, he was there on Saturday. They interviewed him outside of the store. He said, I might have the most recognizable face in the world, but I still got followed from time to time. Anytime I go into a store is what he said outside of Barney's. He said that that happens to him at mostly any store that's high-end. I mean, he's just kind of validating that Barney's does that, but he was another person that comes up, came out.
Wait a second. Did he say he got the shakedown or he gets followed? Because it is Tyson.
Because
like,
that's different, right?
I'd be followed. I'm going to do the shakedown, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to share the shakedown.
Lavinia and Ty cannot work store security.
There is a difference. I'll take care of it.
Still pockets.
But I guess my question is,
So I know where Lavinia and Kai are going to be trying to apply for jobs at.
Right. You know what, Finesse?
I mean,
you get a couple
it.
Of passes on your mutes for them two today. Because them two, they just took the conversation over.
I
just wanted to clarify.
All they heard was Tyson Beckford. They ain't hear the rest of the story.
Well, I heard exactly. He said he got followed. Like, okay.
But maybe they were following him because he's
being followed, or was he being stalked?
Oh, okay. He said he
wow.
frequently, and I didn't.
Maybe you might
said,
need that lawyer, Lavinia.
Let's see if we can get the commissioner on. Whenever we need help for legal reasons, we call the commission.
Because that may require clarification in his case. But the question is, why does he keep going back if that's what happens to him?
Well, I guess you figured you'd never go to a store if you had to worry about that. Like, some,
well, let's,
right? So,
well, let's look at it this way. If he didn't go to the store, he wouldn't have been in the news. Therefore, he couldn't stay relevant. Because until this time, I ain't heard nothing.
Oh, that is just me.
Are you crazy?
That is me. Okay. Okay, so here's my word of advice. Go to Nordstrom. If you need to go to a high-end store, go to a store who's just not treating you bad. Until they treat
online.
You bad, just roll in.
How about just not support them?
Right. I say don't shop online because if they're discriminating against you and will take your money,
right.
Of course they don't want to see your face. They don't even
right.
know that black people are buying from them, so they discriminate against black folks like, you shouldn't be in here, you can't afford a belt kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now,
well, they know when I'm shopping online for them. They know when I'm shopping because my dollar bill has Nelson Mandela on it.
So you do get arrested often. we are not going to have
this. He got on his money.
I got Spike Lee on my $5 bill.
He got Zamunda.
Baby, he
money.
Got his own money. And when I say his own money, I mean.
Oh, my goodness.
His own money.
Wow.
All right. So there was a petition on change.org asking Sean Carter or Jay-Z to end his partnership with Barney's. Now, we didn't talk about this, but we know that they're accused of racism. The creator of the petition, Derek Bowers, wrote, "We can no longer tolerate blatant prejudice and discrimination. It is clear that the minority buying power is devalued by some. We must withdraw support to those who will not support us." So on November 20th, Jay-Z is launching a New York holiday collaboration featuring a selection of limited edition products with 25% of the proceeds set to go to his Sean Carter Scholastic Foundation. And Bowers is the creator of the petition. He owns a Brooklyn-based T-shirt company, and they're trying to make a strong statement against the retail store. So his company created T-shirts that said, "Barney's the new slave." Well, the description of the T-shirt reads, "Discrimination can no longer be tolerated. Hate and fear will no longer be tolerated. We must withdraw support from those who do not support us, and all profits of the sale is donated to the Boys and Girls Club of America." So he's donating this, but he said, in our response, as Kanye so eloquently put it, "F you and your corporation." That's what he wrote in his statement. But they're giving the proceeds to the Boys and Girls Club. He's saying that we should call for Jay-Z to distance himself from Barney's. What do you guys think about that? Is that a black-on-black crime that we just singled him out just because on November 20th he has a collection?
Yeah,
because if he didn't know any, it is because Jay-Z, I also know about this, that Jay-Z, the thing that he's doing in conjunction with them is for the scholarships for kids who can't afford to go to school. So, and I read Jay-Z's statement. He said, I got to look at this further. I got to talk about this with my team. He did do the right thing. He didn't support him. He wasn't against him. He gave a very neutral statement. So I agree with that. And I just, again, these are people, why are you calling out other people? Do you. If you're doing your thing, let Jay-Z do his thing.
Right.
But the thing is, what I don't like is you keep bringing attention to this store. So this store is getting free advertisement. So not only are we supporting a store that we shouldn't be, now we're giving them free promotion and publicity. Because now people are going to say, well, what's the buzz about? I'm going to that store. So, no, do what you do. Say you're going to come out and do it and end it. Don't call nobody else out and then just have a back and forth. And these guys are getting free publicity off of this.
We have to be really careful and do our research because we, you know, we're so quick to jump on the bandwagon, protest this and don't support that. And when this is another opportunity for dialogue, what would be nice is that same young man who was discriminated against at Barney's, they give him a job there, a high-paying job, so that he's the boss of the clerk who tried to turn him in.
First of all, if he can afford a $350 belt, he don't need no job at Barney's. He would never be able to afford it.
I want to know what his mother said he worked. I want to know where he worked. I know he's going to college, but he can buy this belt. Because, listen, I can't afford a $350 belt right now.
Yeah.
That would be your business,
it's not that little kid. Dialogue.
I know. I'm just trying to find out where he's working. I just want to know where he
works. Help a brother out.
I mean, we can't jump on everything just because we got to get the facts.
Since you guys are siding Jay-Z's side, let me help you. The luxury and exclusive collection that Jay-Z has lent his clout to, the cheapest item is a $70 T-shirt, and the most expensive is $33,900. That's a watch by Humblock.
Apparently,
those kids can afford it.
Is he wrong for calling Jay-Z out on this? No, so Finesse and Kai says yes, that's a black-on-black crime. Can't call him out because Barney's messed up.
Yeah, Barney's messed up. I think what they're trying to call him on is his lack of action and that he's remaining so neutral. It's like, okay, I understand you want to wait for the details, but you know for a fact that Barney apologized. They didn't take a neutral stance like Macy's where they said, okay, we don't know what happened, and... we just let the police borrow the room. Whereas Barney's is saying, we're sorry this happened, so they're acknowledging that something went down that shouldn't have. And so I don't know what fact he's waiting. That happened. From a business standpoint, I understand that it's about money. Once you enter into a contract and you're going to set up this thing, whatever business deal he's got with Barney, there's a lot that he has at stake as far as losing out. On the other hand, the way that as big as his name is, he could set that same thing up with another chain and still be able to benefit the scholarship fund. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, I don't understand why he's remaining so neutral as if everybody's overreacting and that, you know, we don't know anything that went down.
He said that the Sean Carter Foundation is the beneficiary, and the foundation is receiving 25% of all sales from the collaboration, 10% of all sales generated in the store on November 20th, and additional donations from Barney's. Now, here's my problem with Jay-Z. Like, okay, forget all of this other stuff, but it was in his statement where he says, my idea was born out of creativity and charity, not profit. That's fine. I move and speak based on fact and not emotion. Now, that part of his statement seems to be talking down to people because technically, Jay-Z, you cannot always say that you're smarter than everybody else. It is not just our emotion that's telling us that that's wrong for Barney's to do. It may be their emotion telling you to withdraw from it, but you can't say that I always speak on move and speak based on fact, not emotion. That is a white person's term to begin with, and there's an old Kemet African saying. No, I'm going to help you with this one. There's an old African saying that says, always your heart, never your mind. Your mind is your ego. So as soon as you say move and speak based on fact, that is your ego talking, not your spirit. So you should move on emotion and not your mind. that would be my 1 second commentary. But I just wanted to throw that out there because he's always wrong in fanning the flames of discontent on him just by releasing statements, because Jay-Z technically is insensitive to things when people are calling him out. But sometimes they shouldn't call him out. You guys are right. It's not his issue.
Yeah.
But his reactions to it is always, they seem to always fan the flames of people's dislike for Jay-Z. Go ahead.
So I got a question. What's that saying again?
It's always your heart, never your mind. You're supposed to be guided by your heart.
Okay, so then I shouldn't get muted anymore because I'm always guided by my heart to say.
Yeah, my heart tells me to mute you, though.
I love his logic.
Okay, that's kind
of Of course I have another question. So he's saying that he wants to react based on fact, not emotion. Would that be similar? Because all that made me think about was the movie that we were just talking about, 12 Years a Slave. You know, emotionally, before I've even seen it, it's like Morgan Freeman, I'd be mad and pissed, and that would be my emotion. But once I go and see what the movie is about and it's based on a true story, it will make more sense to me. You know what I mean? I'll have a better perspective once I get the facts and not just react based on the emotion of what other people are saying. So I'm wondering if he meant it like that, or not in the arrogant sense, but in the let me get the full story before I make a comment.
Okay, well,
he meant money.
Yeah.
Because he swooped down on that whole Occupy Wall Street thing.
He boycotted Chris Style, called them racist. Jay-Z will speak out and say don't buy their stuff because of A, B, and C. He will do that in a minute, but he will say boycott them. So he yelled for boycotts as well, so he can't really stay away from it. He said in his comments, I haven't made any comments because I'm waiting on the facts and the outcomes of meetings between community leaders and Barney's. Why am I being demonized, denounced, and thrown on the cover of a newspaper for not speaking immediately? That was Jay-Z's full comment. He doesn't know why he's being demonized, so he's saying, he's not really saying he's a victim, but he's saying, why am I being demonized when you guys haven't, you know, determined what the outcome is yet? Once there's an outcome, then ask Jay-Z to make a statement.
Right.
Is what Jay-Z's saying.
But there's already an outcome. They issued an apology. Something went
well,
down.
Well, let me ask this question. They issued an apology. Are we then too hard on them if they did admit they're wrong? They didn't lie like Macy's.
Lie like Macy's. That's good for a T-shirt.
Lie like Macy's.
Lie like Macy's.
Yeah, I like that shirt.
Is the apology based on the young man's experience or because someone actually did something wrong?
The problem with corporate is this: they can establish their corporate climate, right? Just generally. So if you have 1,000 stores, you do that, and then you have managers and store managers who determine what the climate is of the employees. So if your store is treating your customers like that, and I gave the story before. I went to a Mercedes dealership and just driving around looking at Mercedes, and I drive onto the dealership. All of the salesmen were gone for some reason, you know, out with customers, and the manager came up to me who was talking to a customer. He said, I see you looking at this car. Here's the keys to it if you want to take it for a test drive because nobody's available to help you. So he was going to give me the car and just let me test drive it. Now, Mercedes' thing is if you can't afford a Mercedes, you won't even come in and look. That is their corporate policy. So I'm glad that they at least had the have a policy that they enforce. But when your employees are racist, then you have a different problem. Because I went to a drugstore after President Obama won, and the manager of this drugstore said, oh, the paper's over there. When I walked in the door.
He said what?
He said the paper's over there because since the press, since he won. Now, I blew his butt all on Clear Channel's radio the next day. But I'm just saying it was hilarious to me that he thought, hey, you know what, I can just say this. And the other employees were horrified, I got to say, because he said it and ran in the back. And I said, where did he go?
Wow.
So when you have racist employees, corporate needs to account for that. So I blew them out of the water saying, corporate, if these are the kind of employees that you have running your store, you need to deal with them.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying Barney's.
It's time for some more intense training.
I'm saying go watch 12 Years a Slave because beat down can go circular. I just wanted to share that. Hey,
wow.
Send your comments to comments. No, BOBC@solarsynergy.com because we know where this is going to go.
Another T-shirt. Any questions? 12 Years a Slave.
Exactly. You want to ask why we see the world like we do? Go watch 12 Years of Life. All right. Mm. So we realized that he was wrong for calling Jay-Z out. We didn't go back to, you guys didn't tell me, was that a black on black crime for Morgan Freeman to say that he wasn't going to watch 12 Years of Slave? We'll start. Finesse, do you think that that's wrong for him to say?
No, because I'm going to ask him his opinion if he's going to watch it. So, no.
Okay, cool. Kai, do you think that's wrong for Morgan Freeman not to want to watch the Slave movie?
No, based on his background, no. No.
Miss Daisy? I'm just joking. All right. I was going to say driving Miss Daisy didn't help him.
I'm going as fast as I can, Miss Daisy.
Yeah,
that was an Academy Award winning. Now, that's an Academy Award winning performance.
And you know, speaking of that, you know what's interesting about that is it's the next year will be the 25th anniversary of Do the Right Thing. The movie
the
that
big thing
won.
With that.
Oh yeah, so they started shooting it with all of the cast members. Sam Jackson was even there, by the way. His Spike Lee feud is over. But with all of those guys, Ruby Dee, they asked Spike Lee about it, and Spike Lee said, "Think about what won that year at the Academy Awards doing Do the Right Thing, and it was Driving Miss Daisy." So he said, "It's
really."
He said it's always interesting to him that white folks are the only people who ask, why did you throw the trash can through the window, when black folks realized that was about the black kid getting shot. They didn't really care about him getting shot, but they keep asking, why did you do property damage? He said, because you can replace property. So anyway, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Back on track. Lavinia, is Morgan Freeman wrong for not watching 12 Years a Slave?
No, I mean, he knows what he's able to tolerate. What he can watch right now. So that's his opinion on what he's able to watch. He didn't say don't go watch it or nobody should watch it. He just said for him, it's not for him. So
right. I think it's a good lesson to be learned in this because he went to New York with two white guys who was like, cool, you can play the violin, you should go do this concert thing. Mm-hmm. And they suckered him to go to D.C. and then sold them. Like, I think this is a good lesson for all of us. Just because somebody your friend ain't don't mean they're your friend.
And that's what I mean by the movie. There's a lot of things in the movie like that that are got you moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people need to go see it.
In the world of news and entertainment, now a Detroit mailman is being held a true hero after tackling a house fire that he spotted while doing his regular delivery. So he called the fire department. This is Darren Crusher. Used a garden hose to douse the flames and helped homeowner Carolyn Patterson. She said that he saved her life and her house. Now, after firefighters arrived, he continued to do the rest of his rounds. He just delivered mail.
Was he black or white?
Because he actually saved
Detroit,
her.
Detroit?
He was
black.
It was
ain't no more white people delivering mail in Detroit.
Yeah. I couldn't hit the mute button fast enough. I'm sorry, people. It's not no black people in there. I am so sorry. I'm going to apologize to you at this moment. I need to get that button that, you know, when your station goes dead and just goes boop. I need to get that on here.
Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Ain't no more white people delivering no mail in no Detroit.
Oh man, you know what?
Don't act like I'm the only one that just said it.
You know, when Finesse starts feeling like this, the outro music must be late.
White people got email in Detroit. They're not. They ain't going to nobody's house in Detroit.
Okay.
First of all,
people get packages delivered, Finesse.
And in Detroit, the majority of the UPS drivers is black. The supervisors are white. They ain't going out there and delivering no packages.
Lavinia, you're up.
I already said it.
No. I need you to give Finesse his muted. He missed that.
Muted.
I heard it when
muted.
She said it. I heard
it. Muted.
She gave you the remix.
I need WFRE. She mixing it up, the remix.
Kai had to, I'm sorry you had to hear this today, Kai. You know, just coming back in, all of that. He is going on.
Based on Vanessa's input, based on Vanessa's input, I'm going to say he was black.
He was black. No, I'm just saying. They said he was a hero. He went to the house, put out the fire, and then went back to work. That was a black man. I'm not saying that.
Oh, wow.